Thank you. Hey, it's great to see all of you here today, and I just want to begin by thanking you for allowing me to have a wonderful sabbatical. Thank you for letting me have that time away. It's just been wonderful, and I definitely want to make sure I thank Pastor Eric and Cody and Zach, who did all the preaching. Didn't they do a great job? I really think they did. Yeah. Now, before I started my sabbatical, do you remember what I told you I was looking forward to doing? That I was going to Netflix it out. I was going to binge watch all these movies and TV shows. That didn't happen. No, it didn't happen at all. I was so disappointed. I was too busy. I spent the first couple days of my sabbatical power washing and staining the back deck on my house. And if you've ever been to my house, that is not small. That takes up the whole backside of my house. It was a daunting project. That's how I started my sabbatical. And then my son Neil came home on leave, and then we had our whole family together. Then Brock leaves, my youngest son who's in high school. He goes off to church camp for a week. And then when he gets back, all four of us, we hop in the car and we drive to Colorado for a few days to visit Kirsten's family. And then when we come back from Colorado, I want to tell you that I got a wild hair idea about something, about how I was going to spend the next couple weeks of my sabbatical. I have an old truck that I've had for a long time. It's a 1995 Dodge Ram pickup truck. I got a picture of it. There it is. Oh, ain't she a beaut? I bought this about 7 years ago, and the reason I bought it is because we needed a way to haul our kayaks around. We enjoy kayaking and doing different things, and I think it's just good to have an old truck laying around because you always need it for something. And so I bought this about 7 years ago to do that, and that's pretty much all I use it for. It's not a daily driver. I did not buy it to be a daily driver, so I didn't really care what it looked like, obviously, and so it's just I've had it around. It's got some issues. It's been sitting next to my house for a couple of years. I've probably only driven it a handful of times in those couple of years, and there's been a number of times that I've thought about just getting rid of it or rolling it down one of the many ravines and walking away. The thought has crossed my mind, but in recent months, I've needed it more than normal, and that's because our car situation has changed. My son Brock, he got his driver's license a few months ago, and one of the cars that we've had for a long time, well, it met an untimely demise one day, and it is no longer with us. Wasn't my fault, but hey, it's a goner. We've all been there, right? So our car situation changed, and I didn't want to buy another car, all right? You've seen how expensive those things are right now? I didn't want to do it. I'd like to tell you, just because I'm frugal, but we had a long discussion in staff meeting the other day about the actual meaning of the word frugal, and I'm like, I don't want to be that, so I'll just tell you what I am. I'm cheap. I don't want to buy another car right now. So I thought, I don't need it like every day. So I just thought, I'm going to see if I can get the old truck running a little bit better. And so I'm no mechanic, but I have YouTube. And how many are YouTube mechanics? All right. Who has ever used YouTube to help you fix something on your car? So I got a lot of stuff fixed. I was able to do it myself. And there's a dear brother here in the church that has always been kind and gracious to share his expertise and his hands to help me with stuff. I will not tell you who that is because he does not want you to call him like I do. Anyway, between all that, we got the truck running, and it's got issues. It needs some work, but it's drivable. It's okay. It does what I need to do. So here's where I come back to this wild hair idea that I had on sabbatical. I told my wife, when we get home, I'm going to paint the old truck. And I've been watching a bunch of YouTube videos. And there's a bunch of guys just like me who paint their cars all the time in their garages and out in their front yards with all different kinds of equipment. And I told my wife, I can do it. It's not going to cost very much money at all. I've got, I think, enough stuff to get it done. And she was very skeptical, a lot like you are, laughing at me when I'm telling you this. But I told her this, I made her this promise. I said, no matter how it turns out, it will not look worse than that. And on that, she agrees. She goes, well, I don't think it will look worse, so So go for it. So you wonder, how have I been spending the last two weeks of my sabbatical? Drum roll. There it is. Look at that thing. Yeah. I did that. Thank you very much. Thank you, YouTube. Now, from about 10 feet away, mwah. Get any closer than that, you can tell I didn't know what I was doing. But anyway, a couple observations. I think it turned out pretty good. I don't mind that at all. A couple new headlights and tail lights, really, and a little bit of paint. I will never do it again. Ever. And I always wonder why it costs thousands of dollars to have somebody paint your car. Now I know. That is some labor-intensive stuff right there. And I've told some of our friends that I have never worked this hard on something so non-essential in my whole life. There were days I wasn't sure if I could stand or raise my arms the next day. But anyway, thank you for the sabbatical. I sincerely, sincerely enjoyed it. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of rest too, because it's a different kind of labor. And I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being a wonderful church. It's great to be back with you. If you're new here at New Life, you can take that picture down. That's I don't want you to study it too hard. No, I'm not going to help you do yours either. No, I'll help you, but anyway. If you're new here to New Life, and we haven't had a chance to meet yet, I sure hope we get to today. I hope we get to real soon. I know some of you here today are looking for a church, and I know that that can be a daunting task. And I hope that New Life is the right fit for you. We are not a perfect church. Those don't exist, I hope you know. But I hope it's a perfect church for you. And I'm so glad that you are here. I want to talk for a few minutes today about where the preaching is going over the weeks ahead. And to do that, to kind of set up where we're going, I want to remind some of you of something, and I want to teach others of you something that you're not familiar with. And it is this: our mission as a church is simply stated with these words. I hope it's something that all of you will put to memory. We exist to lead all people to new life in Christ. That's why we're here. And I hope most of you are like, yeah, I know that already. I've got it memorized. We exist to lead all people to new life in Christ. We've got that statement from the words of Jesus, what he said in Matthew chapter 28. The very last things Jesus said on earth before he ascended into heaven. Do you remember what those words were? Jesus said, "All authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age." The core mission of the church is to make disciples. Somebody say amen, I hope. Amen. It's the core mission of the church. And so Jesus said, go make disciples. He told his disciples to go out and turn people into what they are. They are followers of Jesus, fully devoted, willing to, who believed in the resurrection of Jesus. He said, you go and you turn people into what you are. And what did Jesus say? How do you do that? Well, you baptize them. That's what Jesus said. When somebody comes to faith in Jesus, so like maybe they've been coming to church for a while, or they've been reading their Bible, or they've been talking to you, and they reach this moment of great epiphany. And they're like, I believe it. I believe this. It's faith. I believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. I don't know everything, but I believe that. That is the moment of great faith. That is the moment when everything changes. Faith. And you come to that. We read in the New Testament, when somebody comes to faith, what do? The Bible talks about how they repent. We are to repent of our sins, to repent of that thing that is separating us from our heavenly Father. Repent of that thing that sent Jesus to the cross. My sins. That word repentance literally means to change your mind. I have changed my mind about the way I've been living. So I've believed that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. I've changed my mind about the future of my life. I'm going to confess him as my Lord and Savior. He's my King. And then the Bible talks about how, this is what Jesus talked about, unite with him in baptisms. We didn't have a baptism to show you today, but almost every weekend we do, where somebody goes into the water, and in this great, incredible declaration of what they believe, that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't care who knows. I want the whole world to know who my King and leader is. And they get baptized, and they wash their sins away, and they come up a new creation. Jesus said, go make disciples. How do you do that? You baptize them. You lead them to faith. Then what else did Jesus say? He said, teach them. Well, teach them what? Well, he's talking to disciples saying, you teach them everything that I have commanded you. And so we do the same thing. Today, we're armed with the New Testament. And so we teach to obey God's word, to live out this Christian life, to trust and follow Jesus. We teach that every single day. We want to help everybody become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Lead them to faith. Baptize them. Help them grow. Make disciples. It is the core mission of the church. We sometimes simplify, just say, get them saved and help them grow. And I hope you know this, you can become saved like that. Salvation can come to you quickly and instantly. And may I be so bold to say, you can walk into this room today completely lost and you can walk out completely found. It can happen like that. But I will also tell you that becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ, one who has grown into maturity, like the New Testament talks about, that will take the rest of your life. I'm on that journey, you're on that journey. Take the rest of your life to become a fully mature follower of Jesus. That process of teaching and learning God's word and obeying it and becoming more and more like Jesus, there's a word that we often associate with that, and that word is called discipleship. That's not an unfamiliar word. If you spend any time around church or around Christians, you'll hear that word discipleship. Here's a definition of discipleship that I like. It's the same definition I shared with you about a year ago during our Get Ready series. It should be on the wall behind me. Discipleship is a journey of intentional decisions leading to maturity in your relationship with Jesus so that you become more like him in your attitude, your focus, and ultimately your behavior. It's this process of becoming more like Jesus. You grow, you learn, you read, you study. It's discipleship. So it's learning, growing, becoming more like Jesus. And what I like about this definition is that because it includes something very important. It is filled with intentional decisions. You choose it. It doesn't happen by accident. You guys realize that, right? You don't become a mature follower of Jesus because you hope so. You got to be intentional. Can I ask you a question? This is kind of the crux of this whole conversation I want to have today. And it's this question. Do you approach your walk with the Lord with great intentionality? I mean, right now, just be honest with yourself. Do you approach your walk with the Lord with great intentionality? Somebody who says that when it comes to my walk with Jesus, I choose this, and I choose this, and I choose this for me, and I make sure that I never miss this. That's how intentional I'm talking about. And you know what? As a follower of Jesus, I'm going to avoid this at all cost. You know, I intentionally decide that I'm going to be about which is good. I'm going to involve myself in things that increase my faith and enhances my walk with Jesus, and I'm going to avoid the things that stop me from doing it or get in the way. Do you approach your walk with Jesus with great intentionality? Are you intentional about the things that are important to you? Do we do it like we do other things? Because there's plenty of other things in our lives that we do approach with great intentionality. For example, if you make it up in your mind that I'm going to live a healthier lifestyle, I'm going to get healthy and I'm going to live healthy. How many of you would agree that that does not happen by accident? It doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. No, you approach that goal, that desire with great intentionality. So you say things like this: from this day forward, I will choose this, this, and this. And the this, this, and this for you may be I choose to get more rest, I am going to eat smaller portions, and I'm going to drink more water. That might be your this, this, and this. You might also say, to get healthier, I will make sure that I never miss this. And for you, that may be going on a walk every day, getting some exercise. I'm going to make sure I don't miss that. I will avoid this at all cost. Maybe that's the McDonald's drive-thru with Milk Duds. I don't know who would do that. Hypothetical. Purely hypothetical. So we say, I'm intentionally going to be about what is good for me, and that might be clean foods, a balanced meal plan. And I'm going to involve myself only with those things that increase my chances to live a healthier life. So if you make that decision to live a healthy lifestyle, you have to do it with great intentionality or you're going to fail. We get that. We instinctively understand this. Nobody gets healthy by accident. But for a lot of Christians, when it comes to your walk with Jesus, this idea of discipleship, it can look the exact opposite, can't it? The way we tend to move and operate, the things we do and our priorities could give off the impression that we believe that we will end up at the end of our lives as this incredibly mature Christian and be more like Jesus by accident. And I want to be very honest with you. Nobody stumbles into maturity with Christ. It doesn't happen. So just like you'll never live a healthier lifestyle without intentionality, you'll never fully involve yourself in discipleship and becoming more like Jesus without intentionality either. So let me ask you this question. I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you approach your walk with Jesus with great intentionality, or are you just hoping you get there anyway? Here at New Life, we believe that we are to be intentional with discipleship. We should be a very on-purpose congregation. And even if you've never thought about that before, I just hope that even by what I've shared with you here today, just a little bit, you're like, that makes sense. That makes sense. I hope you would agree with that. Our elders and I have spent quite a bit of time over the last couple of years talking about discipleship and this intentionality with discipleship and what a phrase we've used and I've shared with you before, an intentional discipleship path that we would like our whole church family to be about. And we have been taking, in the last 2 years, some very intentional steps towards that end. And it boils down to three words that if you've been around for a while, you know, but if you're new, it'll be brand new. If you know these three words, just say them with me. Gather, grow, go. Cheaters, it's right there. Nah, I knew it was up there. Gather, grow, and go. Again, if you've been with us for a while, these are not unfamiliar. If you're new with us, you might be wondering, what's that all about? But these three words together describes this all-church discipleship path that I'm talking about, and I believe that these three words help us be able to communicate this in a simple, clear way where everybody in our church family understands this and can also turn around and share it with somebody else. Now, last summer, I spent an entire series on these very three words. That series was called Get Ready. And I talk all about gather, grow, go, our mission, where we're heading. I'm not going to re-preach that series today, but I will say this. If you are new to our church family and you are trying to figure out if New Life is the church for you and you really care about mission, vision, you care about what we believe and where we're headed, I'm going to send you to our website and I want to encourage you to watch that Get Ready series. I believe that series will answer every question you have about this church, and I feel confident that you'll be able to make a decision about your future with us just by watching those sermons, and I would certainly encourage you to do that. But I'm not going to re-preach it right now. It's all out there for you to find on your own, but I do want to briefly talk about these three words because these three words set the stage for where the preaching is going from this point forward. We would like every single person who chooses to call New Life their home to gather, grow, and go and eventually be doing all three simultaneously. By gather, this is what we mean, that every last one of us here at New Life is committed to gathering weekly for this very thing. We come together so that we can worship, and we will remember Christ sacrificed through communion, and we will open up God's word and study it. Not only that, we will, during that whole time, be rubbing shoulders with other Christians and enjoying the fellowship of the church at large. That's what we mean when we say gather. We would like everybody in our church to make that a great priority and understand that being with other Christians in church, in this environment, is part of my intentional discipleship process. Where you can go with a church family is farther than where you could go on your own. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Do you know, and I've shared some of this with you in the past, statistically speaking, the average Christian makes it to church 1.7 times a month. Let that sink in for just a minute. 1.7. In other words, let me simplify. The average Christian goes to church once, maybe twice a month. Now, if you extrapolate that out and think about that, how many times is that person going to be in church throughout the course of the year? Gathering with them, not enough. That's what I'm trying to get at. Not enough. I don't think New Life fits those numbers. I think we're a little better than that. But still, it's something that you can see. It's not where it should be. We're going to challenge you always to be intentional about gathering with your church family. Now, here's what we mean by grow. We mean spiritual growth. We don't mean numbers. There's nothing physical about that. When we use the word grow, our hope, our desire is that every single person is intentionally growing in their walk with Jesus, that they are committed to this healthy spiritual growth, which includes engaging God's word, being with other Christians, praying together, serving, and we do that all in the context of a life group. So let me be very clear. When we say gather, we mean committed to the church family and worship. When we say grow, we're talking about getting plugged into a life group. Now, is a life group the only way that you can experience spiritual growth? Of course not. But it is a very special way. It is a very incredible way, and I believe it's the right way for us as a church family to help guide and create opportunity for everybody in our church. Growing in your walk with Jesus could be greatly enhanced with other people walking this road with you. People who care about you. People who will help shepherd you. People who will be your friends. People who will open God's word with you. You see, in a life group, you can experience a kind of community that you could never experience like in a room like we're doing right now. It's a totally different thing. So we work hard around here to raise up life group leaders and create life groups that have about 8 to 12 people in them. Most of the time, they meet in somebody's home throughout the week, and they spend their time fellowshipping, studying God's word, praying together, and just enjoying the community of the church. In fact, I will tell you this, starting today, this is your lucky day, my friends, because out in the lobby of both of our campuses all weekend long, you're going to find many of our current life group leaders who are out there by the tables, and they want to connect with you. Some of them represent life groups that have been going for a while, but they've got room, and they just want to come and jump in and be a part of our life group. There's some of that out there. There are other groups that are brand new. Okay, brand new groups completely, and they're looking to start from scratch, and some of you are like, I'd like to get on something on the ground floor, and I want to jump in. There's opportunities there for you. The next season of life groups are going to launch here in just a couple of weeks, and then you're going to start seeing those life group study guides start showing up again. I can tell you, I could just talk for a very long time about the benefits of being in a life group, but I'd rather you hear about it from some people who already are in life groups, and I'd love for you to watch this short video about life groups and be encouraged and inspired by the testimony of some of your brothers and sisters.
Thank you. I am Courtney, and this is my husband, Andy, and we have 6 kids.
And we are members here at New Life, and we're also life group leaders. And we have really enjoyed every moment of leading a life group. I think they've been life-changing, not only for us, but for our kids. And I think we've gained a lot of great friendships along the way. We've had a couple different situations. I remember the first year we had a family in our life group, and the dad, kind of had some health, a really scary health situation. I had to be taken by ambulance to the hospital, and it was very scary. I mean, and we were early in the life group stage at that point, and but everybody in the group kind of rallied around them. More than anything, just praying constantly and, you know,
checking in,
and then, you know, every so often I would text him, and, you know, and it really meant a lot to him that I cared. And now, hindsight, you know, he's doing well, got a job, and just amazing how the Lord provides. And sometimes in those small moments, what I get the most out of it is kind of being the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, and of course we're serving people, but they serve us. I mean, we're a family just like everybody else, and we have prayer requests. And probably the biggest blessing we've ever had, that I think, is we've had members, you know, that have gone out and become life group leaders. You know, like we've had 3 families. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, says a lot about the fact that you understood the mission. You saw what happened in our life group, and you wanted to experience that because we're a growing church. And to me, the combination of, because, yeah, the lessons are great, the questions are great, but when you combine that with the fellowship, to me, that's the equal thing that makes life groups so different.
In my mind, it comes down to what you choose to do with intentionality. Will you choose to take command of your walk with Jesus and start to take intentional steps towards what God has in store for you? So gather, we mean come to church. Grow, we mean get plugged into a life group. It's not the only way to grow, of course, but it's one thing that we're doing strategically as a church to help you grow. And finally, the last word is go. What do we mean when we say the word go? Well, starting the weekend of September 7th and 8th, this sermon series is going to shift quite a bit. And I'm going to start preaching a number of sermons that I believe are going to be among the most important sermons that I have ever preached here. I'm going to be preaching about things that will absolutely shape the future of our church. And if I may be so bold, some of your lives will never be the same if the Lord inspires you to take hold of the things that we're going to be talking about as a church. And this has a lot to do with that word go. It has so much to do with our discipleship path. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it right now because I got a lot to say about it starting on the 7th and 8th. And I want to challenge you to come back and not miss any of those. And if the Lord answers my prayers the way that I'm praying them right now, our church family will never be the same after that. And that's a good thing. This is not a bad thing. It's not a scary. It's a great thing. And I believe the Lord is about to do something really incredible. How many of you received the email that I sent out on Friday? How many of you read it? Oh, I'm impressed. Very good. If you're not on our email list, you can get on that very easily through our app, or you just call the office. They put me on that. But in that letter, I tried to share with you how good God has been to our church family lately. I mean, all the time, but especially you can see it right in front of us. God has blessed our church family with some additional staff members that we've been praying about for a long time. I was able to share the great news that we have just hired the student pastor that's going to be at the Highlands campus. That is an awesome thing. Our plan has always been to have a full-time student pastor at both campuses, and Zach Hand has been leading the campus here. This gentleman named Reed Nelson is going to be joining us in mid-September, and I can't wait for him to join the work that's happening out there. We also have a brand new kids director at the Highlands campus as well, and her name is Serena Nichols, and we're excited for her. She just started this week, and so the learning curve is great, but she is going to do fantastic. I feel like that's really come together. Linda White, who was playing keyboard here today, has rejoined our staff, which is awesome. Yeah. Linda was on staff here for 20 years. In fact, she and I sometimes joke together that when I started here, she and I were like the only full-time people at the church. You wouldn't believe how quiet the office was back then. And then a few years ago, Linda pursued a few other things, and then as our needs increased, she was willing to come back, and that's fantastic. Shannon Schwartzlander has also joined our team, and she is the ministry assistant for kids and students, so just thrilled. And I also shared with you about Sonny Johnson joining our team as well. Did you notice his title in the letter? We're calling him the Go Pastor. And some of you are wondering, what in the world is a Go Pastor? I'm going to tell you all about it in the future. Okay? But this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me just say a word right now that I just believe God's on the move in our family. I can't wait to see what he's going to do, especially around this word called go. And so gather, grow, go, friends. It's about intentional discipleship. It's a path that we're inviting all of you to get on. So let me ask you again this very important question. Do you approach your walk with the Lord with great intentionality? This is the question that I hope and pray that you'll consider carefully, because you'll never become a mature Christian by accident, only with intentionality. I love what the Apostle Paul shares with the church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Look on the screen behind me. Let's read it together. Paul says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." In these couple of verses, and actually in the broader context of Ephesians 5, Paul is challenging Christians to live out their faith very boldly, to walk with Jesus and have nothing to do with darkness or sinful ways of this world. He's talking about how we should live intentionally as children of light, because we are once in darkness, we are not that way now. We have been saved by Jesus, so live like somebody who is saved. And that is the Apostle Paul's message here in Ephesians chapter 5. It takes great intentionality. And then you come to verse 10, and listen to what he says. He says, "And find out what pleases the Lord." Have you ever thought about that very much? And find out what pleases the Lord. You got to discover this in some ways. I love what the Message paraphrase says about Paul's words. Eugene Peterson's The Message, he writes this: "Figure out what will please Christ and then do it." Figure it out. Figure out what pleases the Lord. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That comes with great intentionality. We're not supposed to guess. We're supposed to find out. How do you find out? Do you find out by accident? No, you find out by intentionally searching as part of the growth process. Where do you search and find out what pleases the Lord? It's not a trick question. You find out in God's word. This is where this search will take you to understanding what pleases the Lord. I want to challenge you, intentionally be in God's word. How else do you find out what pleases the Lord? You find this out through intentional relationships with other Christians who perhaps maybe are a little bit further down this journey. Do you know somebody in your circle that is a more mature Christian than you, who speaks truth into your life, who has already found out what pleases the Lord and is happy to tell you and guide you? Again, there's some great benefit in being in a life group, being in this kind of community. you find out. How else do you find out what pleases the Lord? By gathering here at church. By making this a consistent part of your life, where you're with a group of people who are going to worship God with passion, and we're going to remember Christ through communion and open up God's word and rub shoulders with other Christians. This helps you in your growth of understanding what pleases the Lord. How else? It helps if you talk to him. It helps if you talk to him and pray. Take these intentional steps. Figure out what pleases the Lord. Be in his word. Be in community with other Christians. Gather for worship. Cultivate a prayer life. Over time, these consistent, intentional actions will lead you to deeper levels with your walk with the Lord. King David said this one time in Psalm 16:8. He says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I love that phrase. He goes, I keep my eyes on the Lord. That takes intentionality. How many of you know how easy it is today to take your eyes off the Lord? Why do our eyes drift away from the Lord? It's because we stop being intentional about that which is important. I feel like I'm not very strong Christian anymore. I feel like I've just drifted away. I don't feel like I'm very strong anymore. Is it because we have taken our eyes off of the King? Here you have King David says, I keep my eyes on the Lord. That's intentionality. It's an intentional decision. So let me just kind of wrap up again with this definition of discipleship. Discipleship is a journey, doesn't happen overnight, of intentional decisions. You choose if you're going to get on the path to becoming more like Jesus. It leads to maturity in your relationship with Jesus so that you can become more like him in your attitudes, focus, and ultimately your behavior. So let me end with this question. What is one decision that you can make today that will help you start to walk more intentionally with your Heavenly Father? Just think about it. What's one thing that you can do today? Before the sun goes down, I can do this as an intentional step towards maturity. Maybe for some of you, it will be this. You're gonna walk out of here today and you're gonna commit. You're gonna commit yourself. I'm gonna find a way. I'm gonna make it a priority to spend some time in God's word every day. I'm gonna take that step. And if that's like, I'm gonna take that step, let me help you take that step. In the app, the New Life app, there is a Bible. If you click on that, there's all kinds of reading plans. You can tell it, spit me out a 365-day reading plan. Tell me what to read every day of the year, and I'll get through the whole Bible. If you don't have the app, you can just, you can download the YouVersion Bible. It's the same thing that's in our app. If you're like, I don't want to mess with my smartphone, go to your computer and go to Bible.com. Can everybody remember that? Bible.com, okay? It's the website version of the app, and you can search all kinds of reading plans and get very specific Old Testament, New Testament, every kind of Bible reading plan you can imagine. Friends, that right there may be you taking the most influential, intentional step of your life. I'm going to read my Bible. Maybe some of you today would like to stop by our welcome table and pick up a story Bible. You know I'm a big fan of the story Bible. If you don't know what that is, we make them available for free, whoever would like it. It's the entire Bible in chronological order, written through 31 chapters. So you don't read the books of the Bible. It just reads straight through. It captures the story word for word from the Bible in 31 chapters. Means to read like a book. And inside the cover, there's a QR code, and there's 31 sermons that you can watch with each chapter. That may be for some of you, that's my intentional step. I'm walking out of here today making an intentional decision to be more in line with what God wants for me. I'm going to walk towards him with great intentionality. For others, that intentional step may be to go right out there in the lobby after service and join a life group. You may have come in here today going, I didn't plan on joining a life group, but I think I'm going to do it. And I want to encourage you to do that. And you'll start very soon spending time with other Christians, being in God's word, being encouraged, enjoying the fellowship, caring for one another. Perhaps for some of you, it will be this commitment. This is your decision. I will make church a priority like I never have before. I will commit to getting my family, gathering with her, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, every single weekend. And it might be the very first time, or the very first time in a long time, that you're going to be able to look back and say, I have not missed church in months. And I'm going to challenge you, friends, if you will give it 3 months, I will not miss church. I will gather with my church family for 3 months, and I will worship God. I will remember Christ's sacrifice. I will be in God's word as I deliver it. And I'm going to rub shoulders with these other Christians. I challenge you to do that for 3 straight months without missing, and then take an inventory of what God has done in your life in those 3 months. You might just discover that you're growing up a little bit. Do you approach your walk with the Lord with great intentionality? Friends, don't miss church, because where we're going through September and October, like I said, I think it's the most important sermons I've ever preached here. And God's got something to show us big time. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just give you great praise for this great church. And I thank you, Father, that you are not done with any of us. That, Lord, we know that if we have air in our lungs, you are not done with us. That you love us, and you have a plan for us, and you have a desire for our lives. That, Lord, there is a way to live that pleases you. Sometimes we don't know what that is because we're still on spiritual milk. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us today be intentional with our walk with you. Lord, I pray even right now as we're praying that your Holy Spirit is tugging on hearts and working on us and convicting us and opening our eyes and challenging us and giving us courage to be intentional. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit do the work that your Holy Spirit does in our lives. Lord, this is what we pray today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.